Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Brock in the gun. They have Conley out wide right, three or left. Brock looking right, going to throw wide open. George Kittle, touchdown! George Kittle!
Thank you, 49ers Radio. Welcome to the show. George Kittle, touchdown. I swear, if I hear National Tight End say one more time, I'm going to vomit. It's not a real day, people.
It sure looked like a real day yesterday. Every tight end went crazy, including George Kittle, who is, he's the founder of this, right? I feel like the ultimate tight end is George Kittle.
Yeah, it's just, we don't have to say it every 5 seconds. It's not a real holiday. This isn't Christmas. It's not the 4th of July. Anyway, good job by the 49ers. They go to 4-4. So now you got three teams in the NFC West all tied with a 4-4 record. Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle. And because Arizona and Seattle Arizona and the Rams have a win over the 49ers. Arizona's actually the top spot in the NFC West after they beat the Miami Dolphins yesterday. Let's take a snapshot of that, Cardinals fans. But the real story coming out of this game, Perloff, listen, San Francisco 49ers beat the Dallas Cowboys. That's not going to raise a lot of eyebrows. That's kind of what's supposed to happen.
Right.
Now it's been four wins in a row. I think the biggest question is about the Dallas Cowboys now, where they go to 3-4 on the season. They cannot win a game away from home. And this game was ostensibly over in the third quarter. San Francisco scored 21 points in the third quarter, and the game was a wrap. How they let Dallas back into the game, I think, is something the 49ers should really look in the mirror about. The defense got a little too soft. Dak Prescott throws two touchdowns to CeeDee Lamb. But then when the Cowboys actually have a chance to win the game down by one score with 3 minutes left to go, plenty of time. And it was four plays, four pass plays. None of them connected.
Well, wait,
good night.
You weren't going to run the ball, so you're not criticizing the four pass plays because that's their only option to gain a single yard.
Okay, but here's the thing. Why did it have to be – why couldn't they try to get the first down?
I understand what you're saying.
They were going for way too much. They were going for low percentage plays, it felt like.
Well, maybe that's what was there. You know, the thing about the Cowboys, just taking one step back, you have to admit they look way better than they did against Detroit. I mean, if
yeah,
you're grading
they got
on
blown
a
blown out, yeah, you're right.
Blown out. Like, it looked like they had just rolled over. There was no point, even as a score, even when San Francisco went up, what they go 27-10. Even then, the Cowboys looked like their effort was there last night. So I'm going to take baby steps towards mediocrity here.
Oh my gosh!
Because
that
if you
is
get,
very
I mean,
generous.
There was one very clearly missing Micah Parsons last night. Because Brock Purdy was in total control of the game. Like, he didn't look scared of anybody, and they really couldn't. They couldn't stop him. So I just think the Cowboys. Yeah, they're 3-4. They have a hard road to make the playoffs. I just think that they're going to be heard from again. I do not think this is a total descent into mediocrity. Come on. They were at San Francisco, Maggie, and it's San Francisco, a desperate, totally desperate San Francisco team because of what you mentioned. They're tied with Arizona and Seattle. Like, they can't afford to give a B effort. They have to be on it from now on.
Okay, so you got San Francisco's best effort, and you actually were getting blown out in the third quarter. It felt like it was a blowout in the third quarter. And again, I think it was garbage time that got, and garbage yards and everything that got Dallas back into the game. And all of a sudden, San Francisco's like, oh no, it's a one-score game. We got to get back on our P's and Q's. You're coming off the bye week, and I just don't see where this big run is coming from for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Dak Prescott after the game talking about, oh, yeah, we got a lot of season left, sure, and we're about to catch fire. Like, what? What evidence do you have of that?
He said it more in a, like, perfunctory way. He's like, yeah, we haven't given up on the season. What do you expect the quarterback to say? Like, yeah, you know what, we're 3-4. Probably going to go 3-14. What on earth was Dak Prescott going to say in that situation?
Well, maybe come up with a different kind of lie, because I don't think that anyone is looking at the Cowboys, and it's not even necessarily about their schedule, although there's no cupcakes here. They're going to go to Atlanta, Philadelphia, Houston, at Washington, after Washington's big win, the Hail Mary yesterday. There's a little something there. I think everything's going from bad to worse here for Dallas, and you can blame every single facet. You can blame Jerry Jones for not putting together a good enough roster. You can blame Mike McCarthy for sometimes the play calls and the play design. You can blame Dak Prescott for throwing a terrible interception in the second half to D'Amador Lenore and the sideline. You can blame the defense because they are not what we expected. They still can't stop the run, and Brock Purdy was able to get to him yesterday. There's just so much blame to be put around for this team, and I don't think you can dig yourself out of that. So, to me, this is it. The season is over for the Cowboys. I don't know how many more games they're going to win, Perloff, but they are not going to be a factor, and I do not see this big run coming up.
You sound pretty certain.
I do.
Care to put something on the line?
I already picked them not to make the playoffs. I already did that early in the season, so I'm just
definitively declaring the season over. I think we need to hold you accountable for that.
Okay, well, here's the thing about me and the Dallas Cowboys and bets. I still have one I got to pay off. Because I did not think Dak Prescott was going to get that big contract, and now I kind of wish he hadn't. So I still have to go to the Waffle House and eat all those waffles. I got to get that out of the way before I can make another Dallas bet.
Okay, let me just say for Cowboys fans, I know effort is, nobody wants to hear this, but you do have Micah Parsons has to come back. He's not going to retire. He's not done for the rest of his life. He's coming back from a high ankle sprain, and DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back, and De'Ron Bland's just going to get healthier. If Jerry just, somebody gives him smelling salts and he brings in a run, or does something to have a running game, there's got to be some better solution. There's a chance they're a better team in the second half. In fact, I'd be very surprised if they weren't a better team in the second half than the team that got blown out 47-9 to the Lions, the team that just gave a good effort, lost 30-24 to the Niners. Like, you're going to be a better team at the end of the season. Dak, by the way, looks
pretty
good. And
what is that going to get you? Who cares?
I mean, you might get to 9-8, and in this NFC, who the heck knows? There's a lot of uncertainty.
Wow. I mean, yeah,
that's their goal now. I mean, forget, the 12-5 is not happening again. They're already at four losses. But I do think that, you're 3-4. Like, you got to focus now. You got to try and get to 9-8, 10-7, and see what happens.
Here's my question about Micah Parsons. So he's got the high ankle sprain, right? If he's not back next week, then why didn't they put him on IR? Because that means you have to miss four games, but it means you can fill the roster spot. I'm not saying there's another Micah Parsons out there, but again, is that just not one small microcosm of roster mismanagement? And you've also had the bye week in here too. Don't forget that. So he's had all this time to get healthy. You never put him on IR. I don't understand the reason for that.
I think they thought it's a high ankle sprain. I think they thought he was going to be back for this game. I mean, everybody's got a thought after the bye he'd be back. If he's not back for Atlanta, then whoa, then something's really, really wrong.
Well, starts to get maybe a little bit of nervous time. 855-212-4227. EJ, can we throw a poll question up here? Because I think Perloff and I we really see the Cowboys very different. I think you took a lot of positives away from last night despite the loss. And to me, they look buried after
this. I mean,
they
were winning at halftime. I mean, what on earth have they ever been winning at halftime at San Francisco?
Wasn't the score 10-7?
Yeah, I mean,
it's not stranglehold.
What do you think halftime was there last year when the Cowboys were a much better team? They were getting destroyed. Like, immediately, the Niners just ran all over them. Honestly, I think this game was way better than last year's, and the Cowboys are a shadow of themselves. So even to hang in there was impressive to me. They had an interesting strategy. They were like, well, we're going to block Nick Bosa in the first half one-on-one and just hope that Dak can throw it almost immediately and then get pummeled right after he throws it.
Yeah, and he can't move around, and he just really doesn't move around. And what's interesting, though, is, yeah, you said last year they got pummeled and they were a way better team. Well, also last year, that was a better version of the 49ers.
That's true.
You know, this version of the 49ers is not last year's version.
No, there's no McCaffrey.
No McCaffrey. And Debo, despite having a big touchdown run that ended up getting called back on a hold, I felt like there were times, and listen, credit for him for gutting it out. He was in the hospital for 48 hours earlier this week with pneumonia. But I thought there were moments where if he had been at full strength, he's probably breaking a couple more tackles,
probably
getting into the end zone a couple more times.
Yeah, also, Purdy missed him on a fourth down. That was a terrible throw by Purdy. Totally uncharacteristic Brock Purdy kind of did whatever he wanted last night for a big chunk of the game. It was funny. If he didn't have that terrible game, the three-interception game, I was like, wow, Brock Purdy would be right back in the MVP mix.
Yeah, so 855-212-4227. Again, on Mondays, we try to get to everything around here, but if you want to talk about your game, we had so many amazing finishes, both college and pro, you are welcome to call in. You can also watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray. Other weird things from this game. So apparently when the Joneses roll up to an away game, or maybe even home game, it's like a three SUV caravan.
Right.
And one of the SUVs that was carrying his daughter and his one son, so Charlotte and then Jerry Jr., was the car was kind of hit by a barricade. I think it's one of those barricades that comes up from the ground, and it came up and hit the car, and it looks like Charlotte may have had some injuries to her ribs, and that Jerry Jr. may have a concussion. So this is just a little like, wow, when things are going bad, things are going really bad. And then we know that Jerry Jones got into it with the radio hosts down in Dallas a couple weeks ago. Well, yesterday, Trayvon Diggs, after the game ends, teams go in the locker room. There's like a 10-minute cool-down period. And then the media can come in and do interviews. And during that cool down period, Trayvon Diggs comes out of the locker room specifically to call out one television reporter from Dallas who had tweeted something about his effort on the George Kittle touchdown.
Yeah.
Lack of effort.
I mean, I noticed the same thing in real time, by the way.
And Trayvon Diggs, the guy says that the reporter says, you know, maybe we can talk about this another time. And he goes, you can talk to D's. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to get fined by the FCC this morning. And I'm not
D's
sure if
cuts.
I don't know if I can say that one. So I'm not going to. I mean, just talk about unraveling. And that just comes from the top. If you've got the owner can take aim at the media and say whatever he wants and get into it, then why wouldn't Trayvon Diggs feel like he can pull this move, which is just outright classless? First of all, stop looking at your social media right after the game, especially when you just had this really close loss. Like, this is being famous 101. Don't do that. And if you're going to, have a little more discipline. I try not to hold things against guys right in the heat of the moment and right afterwards, Perloff, because their adrenaline is high. Obviously, they care a lot. But you're not a rookie, dude. It's just a terrible look. You embarrass yourself.
Are we talking about Deron Bland? Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Trayvon Diggs.
Trayvon Diggs, yeah.
It's clown stuff. And this is the whole organization. They're unserious.
Yeah, I hear you. They need that energy right now. Like, they need to really act like this hurts. they really need, like, I don't want to hear, like, they have to take this seriously right now. Honestly, I know you think I'm crazy. Like, I think Jerry, what he was trying to do was somewhat effective. Like, they came out with a lot of energy, which they have not done in a long time this season. So, I don't know. At least they're taking it personally. I mean, this is a Cowboys team that you say just wants to be hype and just wants to be popular. Well, to me, that kind of says, like, we take this personally. Like, we really want to win these games. And they do, honestly. Like, I think you're underestimating the Cowboys. I think that they're going to be a 500 team, which is not bad considering you had no Micah Parsons for the season.
He's there,
Nick Bosa. He's huge. You know how Bosa dominated the game last night? That's Micah Parsons. People are totally forgetting. That's like taking T.J. Watt off the Steelers. And the Cowboys, if they get him back, maybe they're back to same team as last year.
I don't know. I doubt it. They had issues stopping the run last year with Micah Parsons. You don't think Isaac Garendo or Jordan Mason, or once they get McCaffrey back, it's not going to just be the same old thing?
Oh, my God. Brock Purdy sat back there all night long. Just at ease. It looked like a 7-on-7 game last night.
Sorry, AJ, what were you saying?
I was saying Micah Parsons was there when they got destroyed by the Ravens and destroyed by the Saints.
Yeah.
And I was at home.
Earlier this season.
Yeah. So when we say, well, they have more home games, well, they've been getting crushed at home. Well, Micah Parsons will come back. Well, they were getting crushed when he was out there.
Yeah, I don't see, like, the big run coming. It's like, oh, the turning point, or this is like the, you know, yeah, it was a loss, but you took some good things away from it. I don't see it. Let's go to Adrian, who's in Maryland. Good morning, Adrian. What's up?
Hey, guy. Good morning. I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, so I'm not gonna say they're gonna do this, they're gonna do that. Unlike Big Dave in Kentucky, who jumped ship long time ago. That's not a fan. That's a fair weather fan when they start winning games. But to get to your point, this is a lot on Jerry Jones. He, like you said, he waited to sign Dak. And what you do in the springtime, you basically go to Dak and say, what do you need for us to win games? You don't sign him, and you put pieces around him. We found out Dak's not that guy. He's not that top five quarterback that's going to change the game. He needs pieces around him, just like Purdy needs pieces around him. So with me being a Cowboys fan, they're going to be 8-9, 9-8 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that's reeling off a bunch of games and maybe making one little small trade during the trade deadline to open up the offense. As you've seen last night, they came back and their route concept, their play calling was better. Then they get down 6, and they go back to the same thing they were doing in the second quarter that got them down 27-10.
Yep.
Everybody running go routes and things like that. So we should be looking at play calling for one, and Jerry Jones.
And you know, Adrian, everything except for the Jerry Jones part actually can be fixed. You can get another coach. You can actually sign players. Maybe you do make a trade. I thought Nick Chubb could have been a possibility for them, but now the Browns have won a game. So I don't know if maybe Nick Chubb's not available anymore. I was trying to think of running backs that could help them. Thank you for the call, dude.
Everyone keeps linking them to Travis Etienne, who's been hurt a little bit too. They need him so badly. They need somebody who can run, like a faster running back, because Zeke and Dalvin Cook, I'm so sorry, it's not 2018. That's not going to work. Zeke is so slow, and he actually played okay last night. They really need just a fast running back from somewhere, just to scare the defense a little bit.
In the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, where Ray Brooks says, Perloff, you keep talking about how the Cowboys fought back, but at this point they should have been blown out 3 times. And in 2 of them, the opposing defenses just kind of stopped playing. That was last night with the 49ers, mm-hmm. and then the Ravens game as well.
Yeah, but
the final score looked a little bit better than what was actually going on.
Well, I saw the Cowboys get blown out last year and just go on a run. So if they're going to lose, you know, a 42-10 loss counts the same as a 17-14 loss. I like it. Just, you know, lose, rip the Band-Aid. Almost it hurts more last night, losing 30-24 than 47-9. I'm telling you, they lost to Detroit and at San Francisco. It's possible those are the two best teams in the conference. It's very possible.
Well, they've lost more than that.
Yeah, I know. I'm not counting early in the season. I don't know why. I'm just going to write those off.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they did
the
come out.
Off rules?
They won at Pittsburgh. Like, they seem to be figuring things out. Then they totally laid over against Detroit and San Francisco. They're going to beat a good team at some point. I like what Adrian said. 8 or 9, 9 or 8. Would that be, at this point, would you be happy as a Cowboys fan to get to 9-8? If I could give you 9-8 right now.
You want to know why I wouldn't be happy about that? Because I would think to myself, all right, is Jerry going to make the right decision on their next head coach? If it's not McCarthy, which I don't think it's going to be, but is he actually going to make the right decision, number one, or are we going to get another, you know, good but not great? And then the other part is the Dak Prescott contract. There's nothing that's saving you from that.
So what's that have to do with 9-8?
Well, I'm just saying, if you did start to feel good, you're like, well, where is this team going? You know, Dak Prescott's contract is exorbitant.
Right. That's not changing. One
Jerry Jones being the owner and him picking the next head coach, that's not going anywhere.
Not changing.
So that would bring me sort of back down to earth.
Right. But would you rather be 9-8 than 5-12?
Well,
you're saying it doesn't matter.
I don't know
if it rather,
matters.
I'd rather tank. I totally disagree.
For what?
For more. This team is not talented. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we keep talking about these names. They have names. They don't have stars.
They're not getting into the top 5. They're not getting Travis Hunter. They're
well, the
not getting.
You can get in the top 10 and you can get a good player. I'm not saying you got to get it. You got to get in the top 5. I think this could end up being a pretty decent draft. They need an influx of talent. That receiving core is ass. Okay, it's so bad. It's CeeDee Lamb and just a bunch of guys.
So what's the difference? They could get a receiver at 13 the same as they can at 8. That's not a huge difference.
That's not
a reason to lose.
Well, here's a question. Would they even do that? I mean, their first round picks are all going to be offensive defensive line, which generally I'm for.
They do need defensive line as well.
Well,
they've been drafting defensive line for 10 years. Like, that's the problem I have with this team is that, like, for a team that is supposed to be hanging around the rim, they're going backwards.
Definitely.
And every year I watch them, I feel like the talent gets worse. They're not getting better. This is supposed to be Dallas Cowboys, God's team, America's team, you know, star on the helmet. Where are the stars?
Well, I don't
know.
Where
are these guys?
You said that last year when they were 12-5 and looked like...
I loved them last year. That's why I'm annoyed, because I thought they were going
in the wrong direction last year. This year we kind of knew. I think everyone lowered their expectations coming into the season with the Cowboys.
Oh,
because
I definitely
the offseason was openly a disaster. Their odds fell pretty good. Their win total went down in Vegas. Like, everyone knew this was not the same team.
Well, and I don't think they made the changes that needed to be made off the loss to the Packers.
True. I also think their offensive line got really old. I mean, at certain point, like, they probably should be a rebuilding team. They lost a Hall of Fame left tackle. They're about to lose a Hall of Fame guard. They're getting old at key spots, but they tried to sort of bridge the gap, and it's not working right now.
855-212-4227. You're welcome to weigh in on the Cowboys. I see the season is over. Perloff thinks there's a glimmer here. Well, there's stuff to work on, things to build off of. How do you see it? 855-212-4227. Coming up, back to the college ranks and what we saw over the weekend. The college report card is next.
Oh, time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally going to kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
That open still makes me laugh. All right, Maggie, college report card, big college weekend, a lot of fun. I don't think we had like the major Texas-Georgia style game, but there were some very interesting results.
Yeah, EJ's going to throw one out for us. We'll give him the grade, either a person or a team. EJ, go ahead.
All right, let's start in Columbus. Ryan Day, unhappy with the Buckeyes' performance in their 21-17 win. What do you give Ryan Day's performance in this game?
I think that was like a C. He said he didn't like the energy and the effort. You're coming off of a bye where you just had this terrible loss in Oregon. You should be razor sharp for this game, Perloff.
I can't believe how bad they were at running. So their defense was terrible against Oregon, right? Gave up 500 yards, completely fixed that, shut down Nebraska the entire game. And then they got averaged 2.5 yards per carry in the college football world. That's like averaging 1 yard per carry in the NFL. You have superstar running backs. You have Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. You should be able to run all over Nebraska. I'm scared for this team because that's a championship or bust team, and they seem closer to bust to me.
Coming up next week, they go to Happy Valley and Penn State. So
that should work out.
We'll see what happens.
That should work out, actually. But regardless, they do have it.
So I said C. What do you say for Day?
A D for Day. Oh. That was actually even worse than the Oregon game.
Wow, that's saying a lot. Let's go to Quinn Ewers, Texas. They get a win over Vanderbilt. Game got a little tight at the end, but Ewers did get hot in the middle of this game.
Yeah, I think at one point he had completed 17 passes in a row, but Ewers just doesn't look the same coming back from this injury. So I kind of feel like he needs to be graded on a curve. I'm going to give him a B-, two picks in this game. Listen, Vandy is the Kingslayers, so I guess they're just lucky to get out of Nashville alive. But I don't think that Ewers has been so great. But again, Perloff, is he still dealing with this injury? Maybe he came back a little bit too quickly.
I don't know. I give him a B+. I thought he looked really good. He threw that early pick. He got tipped, which is a problem with him. He's not super huge. He didn't get down on himself. He came out the exact opposite and just caught fire. Clearly run Sark offense. Yeah, that game was close-ish, but Texas kind of had him the whole game. I think Ewers is going to get a little better as the season goes on. I think Sark was very pleased because there was some concern, are we going to see that Quinn Ewers again?
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly a 10-point game in the second half, but then all of a sudden, Vandy, man, they don't go away. It's like Michael Myers.
Well, they scored with like a minute left to make it a one-score game, so they needed an onside kick. It didn't happen.
Let's go to College Station, where it was Brian Kelly's LSU Tigers that went to Texas A&M and got outscored 31-6 in the second half. LSU loses 38-23. What's your grade for Brian Kelly?
Okay, I'm going to give him a C because they lost. But do we underestimate the impact of two players? LSU loses Jaden Daniels, and we expect them to be in the playoff. And USC loses Caleb Williams. Both teams are struggling. You could see LSU was LSU was in a tight game. Jaden Daniels would have gone bananas in that game. And they just couldn't keep up with A&M and their backup quarterback, who's awesome. So I think we shouldn't. We probably had too high expectations for LSU. I really do.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm not doing that. Garrett Nussmeier was definitely in the Heisman conversation until Saturday. He threw three interceptions. And I think I give Brian Kelly a D on this one. Mike Elko gets an A, but we would agree on that. So we're not going to put that here. He was brilliant to go to the backup quarterback. Totally got LSU on their heels. But does it feel like perhaps, and I know that there's been some great wins for Brian Kelly at LSU. They beat Alabama his first year. Epic game. We're going to see on November 9th. We get LSU-Alabama. I think sometimes his teams play super tight in big games. And I think that's him.
I agree.
I thought they got really tight in this game. And listen, you're on the road. Kyle Field. We know this amazing home field advantage. Notre Dame went in there and won the first game of the season. I get that. It was the first game of the year. I think his team got totally tight. They botched the snap on the field goal. Just a lot of things that got wonky in that game. So I'm giving Brian Kelly a D.
So that means, will they get tight for in 2 weeks Alabama?
I don't know. They played really well against Alabama in the past. So
yeah, I just don't think this team is that great. And partly because of defense, too.
Well, they didn't fix that fully.
Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing about Brian Kelly. He's supposed to be hard-nosed. And I think a lot of it is Harold Perkins was supposed to be the second coming. That's not happening. And you look at this team, I just don't think they're that great. But maybe they beat Alabama and change it around. I guess two losses, they're probably still alive-ish.
Well, now it's must wins from here on out.
Yeah.
That Alabama-LSU game is de facto elimination game.
Absolutely. Let's go to Alabama. They won 34-0. Jalen Milroe didn't throw any touchdowns, but he did run for one. What are you giving Jalen Milroe's performance in this win for the Crimson Tide?
I'm going to give him a B+. Wasn't great in the first half, but the second half, they really came out and Milroe specifically came out and was determined to run the ball. And listen, they had a wounded opponent in Mizzou, lost their starting quarterback, couldn't even make it a half. He came into the game with an injury and couldn't even last a half, got a different injury, hurt his hand. But Milroe in the second half, they turned it on, they turned it up. I mean, yeah, B+. No crazy, huge, terrible turnovers.
Yeah, I totally agree with that grade. I do think a more important test is coming up. This was the quiz before the final, yeah, which is next week. Because in a way, it is a final for Alabama. If their schedule lends itself, if they can beat LSU, I'm sorry, 2 weeks, then they advance to the tournament. I thought he looked, I think even in the losses, he definitely has his moments. He's just been a little mistake prone. And if they could run the ball more dominantly, then they wouldn't need Milroe to be a hero. That's what I don't really love about this Alabama team. It just feels at the end of the day, Milroe has to win for them.
Well, and this was the first game in 2 weeks that he did not throw multiple interceptions in the same in the game. So he was a little bit better there. But again, it was Mizzou, and Mizzou was wounded. Mizzou's a good team, but they were down. We didn't put Deion in this college football report card. We'll get to Deion later. And the Colorado Buffaloes bowl eligible under Deion Sanders. So definitely good vibes in Colorado. Manny Rodriguez is here with us doing updates this morning. What up, Manny?
Good morning, guys. We're sponsored by LinkedIn. Get LinkedIn's deep candidate insights. Help you find your next Pro Bowl hire today. To post your job for free, go to linkedin.com/recruitment. Terms and conditions apply. Dolphins QB Tua Tagovailoa played in his first game yesterday since September 12th when he was diagnosed with his third known concussion. He threw for 234 yards, 28 for 38, one touchdown. He also had all of South Florida holding their breaths when he carried the ball three times for 13 yards. So Tua, you all right?
I would say I felt like myself. Like I said, I've been preparing for 5 weeks as if I were to play while I was on IR, so that's what it was. So it felt normal coming out there.
Well, Tua's return was spoiled as the Dolphins fumble away a 9-point fourth quarter lead. Chad Ryland's field goal as time expired is the difference. Cardinals 28, Dolphins 27.
You know, Perloff, I think I owe you a little bit of an apology. You said that the Dolphins defense was not very good. And I was like, well, let's wait and see. No.
Yeah.
The last three drives for the Arizona Cardinals, touchdown, touchdown, and then the game-winning field goal where they went on a 13-play drive to just burn so much clock. It was beautiful, quite frankly, if you're a Cardinals fan. But I think you were onto something with that Miami D.
Yeah, you know how many sacks they came away with last night? Zero. And not only that, I think they only had like one or two pressures there. Both teams, by the way, Arizona's defense is as harmless as Miami's defense. Neither one pressured the quarterback the entire game. Like, you have these tiny quarterbacks. I think they're afraid that Kyler Murray's going to run around them, but just hit those guys. They couldn't even touch them. Yeah, this is a shame because now I feel like Miami's, since they paid to it, they're in a big limbo situation.
2-5 on the season, and man, the AFC East just really cratered, huh?
Oh, that's a shock. It's only been like that since every year since, oh, yeah, forever.
Congratulations on winning the AFC East, by the way, Maggie.
I know, for the Bills.
Fifth time in a row.
I honestly didn't see this coming. I really didn't. I'm like, I didn't even expect to win this award. I didn't even have a speech prepared. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't see the division falling apart in this way. Now, listen, Bills, Dolphins, this upcoming weekend, this next week, we'll see what happens, I
have guess. Have you, even last night, yesterday, I'm sorry, I keep saying last night, you tweeted out something funny could happen here. Were you watching that Seahawks Bills game? You're like, this is it's a rainy day out here. It's pretty nerve wracking. Honestly, an elite college team could have beaten the Seahawks yesterday. They couldn't even snap the football. Like, what game were you watching? That was the easiest Bills win I've ever seen in my entire life.
I was stunned. I didn't see the Seahawks really self imploding that way. Maybe I should have, because when they're bad, they are bad. But there have been some games with the Seahawks look fantastic. They'll go on the road. They'll win. No DK Metcalf really hurt them. The Bills have nobody in the secondary who can hang with Metcalf.
They cannot snap the football to the quarterback.
Right,
DK Metcalf, Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, and Randy Moss were not going to do anything. They are a disaster.
Right over Geno's head, right when you're basically a first and goal.
Nothing annoys me more than a team that is from Seattle having struggles playing in the rain. The Seattle teams, the Florida teams, it's like, this should be a cakewalk for you. How are you guys the ones that can't snap the ball?
They also see, you know, they're trying to run this fast pace with Ryan Grubb, but they seem to have real trouble getting lined up the right way and calling a play. Definitely an issue for them. You know, the mechanics of basic football were not there yesterday.
But anyway, back to the Dolphins. Yeah, this Tua situation with the contract and now him being bad, and not him being bad,
he
but the team being bad. He was fine.
Now the question is, too, like, they're not going to draft a quarterback, so you're going to build around Tua. I don't know. They've tried so many things on this defense. They brought in Bradley Chubb. They brought in Jalen Ramsey. They drafted Chop Robinson, and the defense just can't stay healthy.
They cycle through defensive coordinators, too. And I don't know if Mike McDaniel's going to survive this. I think
he just signed an extension, so he should be okay.
I know, but you say that. Those extensions, none of that counts against a salary cap. That's just sunk money from a billionaire.
Well, if that's the case, Mike McDaniel's stoked because he's getting paid a lot of money through 2028.
Yeah, maybe he can go to more hair gel. Manny, what else you got?
Kyler Murray, he went 26 for 36, 307 yards, and two touchdowns. Guys, I'm getting a little tired, so is it cool if I sit out for a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Anthony Richardson needed in the third quarter.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, just told Sam I just needed a break right there.
I too am tired. Joe Flacco, he replaced Richardson for that third down snap. They could not convert on third down, leading to a 37-yard field goal by Matt Gay. The Texans would go on to win the game 23-20. Richardson, he completed 31% of his passes, 175 yards, one touchdown, one pick. C.J. Stroud, 25 for 37, 285 yards, and a touchdown in the air.
Nobody's really talked about this, but I feel like the injuries that he has had has something to do with him getting so tired. He rarely finishes games. And he's played very few full games in his entire career.
Right.
So we talk about his brand of football. I think some of, like, because I believe him, I think he was tired. He looked gassed when he got to the sideline. I think even though he's a physical specimen and he's jacked and he's strong and he's fast, I'm not sure if he has the best conditioning. I don't know if he can play that same way 60 minutes.
Oh, because he's not in football shape.
Right. He doesn't, right. He's not had to play that kind of way for 60 minutes for his entire career.
Yeah, I'm just like, even going back to his college days, I mean, I'm looking at a guy who basically rushed for 700 yards in college and was, you know, had over 100 rush attempts in the last year he was at Florida. Like, this is his bread and butter. You can't get tired here. Now, maybe you're right, EJ. Maybe he's not in good enough football shape. But at the same time, I thought this has to be a lie. I thought maybe he's covering for another injury because he doesn't want to have that moniker of being injury prone, but you made it way worse if this is the lie.
A couple more of NFL scores for you. A field goal As time runs out, that pushes the Packers past the Jaguars, 30-27. The Eagles, they flex after being flexed out. They beat the Bengals, 37-17. And the Broncos, they double up on the Panthers, 28-14. College football, a fight broke out at the end of the Michigan-Michigan State game. Michigan tight end Colston Loveland, what a name, and Michigan State defensive end Anthony Jones, they ignited the brouhaha that led to punches being thrown. On the field after the game, Loveland had this to say on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, I mean, little bro, stay doing little bro things, you know. So MSU the little bro, they can do whatever they want. We knew it was going to get chippy, but, you know, everything within the confines of the game, we do right. And then after they want to get busy, we'll get busy.
Get busy, like a Sean Paul song, guys.
Whoa. I mean, it wasn't good, but, I mean, last time they got busy after a game, like a Michigan guy got jumped.
Remember that? Yeah, got a lot. There was a little bit. You're saying that baby steps towards improvement, EJ?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. Like, you're like, oh, we can get busy after the game. I'm like, well, last time that happened, that didn't go well for Michigan. Even though you killed them on the field.
Yeah, so you got Michigan and Oregon this weekend. How do we think that's going to go?
Not good for Michigan.
Not good
for Michigan. So it's funny. A quick side, you know, we've talked a lot about Sherrone Moore and how they feel about this season going the way it's gone. They did beat Michigan State. And I was with a Michigan alum who's a super fan over the weekend. So I asked him, like, what's the vibe over there? He's like, it's getting dicey. The fans are not happy. He's like, if you go to the message boards, you listen to the alums, he can't do this again next year. Like,
They have no quarterback. They've cycled through how many guys? They had to go back to the original dude last week for this game because everyone's hurt.
No, but I think there is some acknowledgement that, hey, like, we played the championship game. We couldn't recruit the right guy. We couldn't get the transfer portal straightened out. And then Harbaugh had one foot out the door. But there is a lot of anger with just how inept offensively they are week to week.
That's totally unfair.
And Sherrone Moore, maybe, I don't want to say he's in trouble, but, like, that the people are not happy right now.
That's insane. I mean, listen, Harbaugh, not only was he out the door, like, there was all this investigation. Like, you were going to, like, how are you going to get anyone out of the transfer portal in that situation? How are you going to get Dylan Gabriel to come to Michigan last year? Like, that was just not happening.
No, meanwhile, and we have not talked about Oregon enough, number one team in the country, Illinois, who has been good, was ranked, is still ranked. That was a laugher. And Dylan Gabriel, that Heisman campaign is alive and well.
Absolutely.
Starting to feel like he's going to just outlast everyone. I don't know why.
No, a lot of football left. Because the Heisman voters only judge the last 3 weeks of the season. There's a dirty secret of Heisman voters.
I know, but look at the rest of the Big Ten. We're talking about Michigan. We're talking about Ohio State almost lost to Nebraska. We're talking about could Penn State lose to Ohio State because Penn State's always looking to lose a big game. What's going on? Like, Oregon looks like the class of the Big Ten.
Totally. But that doesn't mean... Honestly, somebody could go off 1 week before voting, and voters always judge on the last thing they saw. By the way, the Colts Texas game, we're not talking about the play of the game. When that defender got the fumble and ran it down, it looked like for the game-winning touchdown, or the leading touchdown. That was
brutal that got called.
Yeah, you're the
they
one
said
who
that he was down by contact, right?
Yeah, and it was so slight. I think Joe Mixon just brushed him.
Barely.
Otherwise, if you're a Colts fan right now, like, that has to be a miserable fan base because you really should have won that game yesterday.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I forgot about that play. I was thinking, what was worse, though, that or what happened with the Bears? And on multiple fronts, we'll get to the Bears in just a moment. Manny, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We have the Hail Mary call in several different languages. We're going to play another one for you next.
The thing about the Colts is everyone knows they would be a playoff team with Joe Flacco, a quarterback. It's just the most, it's kind of like you were mentioning with Jameis Winston being better than Deshaun. Joe Flacco should be the quarterback, and they would have won that game.
Well, I mean, maybe Anthony Richardson opened the door up. If he's too tired to go back in the game, maybe Joe Flacco's got better conditioning.
Dude was 10
he's
for,
like 38.
Dude was 10 for 32.
Wait, how old is Joe Flacco? Is he 40?
37.
Yet?
I think he's 37, 38. I don't think he's quite that old.
39 years old.
39. Yeah, I mean, Richardson cannot hit a pass except for that occasional bomb to Alec Pierce. Like, he's the least accurate quarterback, I think the metrics are, this era by a large stretch.
Yikes. 855-212-4227. Manny, thank you. We will get back to what was an unreal finish in our nation's capital. Do that next.
Ahora sí, Daniels. A lanzar a lo profundo del terreno de juego. Ahí está la recepción. Touchdown! Touchdown de Washington! Touchdown! Está adentro!
It's
Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Spanish language call of the Washington Commanders' Hail Mary yesterday. They beat the Chicago Bears. Bears had a couple different ways they could have won this game. They could have won this game, Perloff, when they were at the goal line, ready to take the lead, when they decided to inexplicably hand the ball off to a backup center. The offensive lineman, it bounced right off of his big belly, and that ended up coming up snake eyes. And then on the Hail Mary play that you just heard, that amazing call by the Spanish language radio broadcast, Perloff, there was actually one guy, Tyreek Stevenson, who was so busy talking smack to the Commanders fans, he didn't realize the play had started, and he ends up being the guy who tips the ball right to Noah Brown.
Yeah, that was bad. The thing about the fumble by the offensive lineman, that actually, in the long run, almost helped them win the game because they got this other drive where they completely ran out the entire clock on the Commanders. You thought the game was over. There was a couple plays right before the Hail Mary, too. They let up the sideline pass. It didn't seem like a big deal at the time. They got the Commanders closer. They just gave them 15 yards. They should not have done that. And then they only rushed three guys and gave Jaden Daniels about 10 minutes to throw the ball.
Yep.
And then they did everything possibly you could do wrong on Hail Mary defense. So I don't think that was blind luck. I think that was also partly incompetence.
I think it was too. And Matt Eberflus, the coach of the Bears, after the game saying, oh, we practice this all the time at practice. Like, well, where's the proof? You might need to go back to the drawing board on that one, Matty, because it looked like what the Commanders were running on their Hail Mary was perfect. If you've seen, there's a couple people who have broken it down now on social media, on TV, whatever, where it's perfect. You've got one wide receiver who's in front of the pile, if you will, the scrum in the end zone, and one right behind it. So if the ball gets tipped either way, you would have had a wide receiver there to try to catch the ricochet, and it ends up getting tipped behind to Noah Brown, and it fell into his hands like it was a baby.
Like, yeah,
it was placed gently.
I could have caught that. Absolutely.
Well,
I think it's really interesting. I think you and I disagree a little bit. Like, what's your takeaway from that Commanders game? Unless Jaden Daniels is still really recovering from his injury, I kind of came away from that game like, ooh, maybe they're closer to the middle of the pack than I think. You know, when they really blow for blow with the Ravens, everyone said, oh, okay, yeah, maybe in a weakened NFC, 2 weeks ago, the NFC looked like garbage. Maybe in a weakened NFC, Washington's a dangerous team. Now I wonder, at 6-2, do they end up closer to sort of 10-7 on the season, which would mean they're 3-5 the rest of the way, or are they 11-6? Like, are they going to easily win this division? It looked like it was their division before. Now it looks like, oh boy, they're going to have to scrap away.
Well, it's the NFC East, so this is the weirdest division. There's always a new winner. I don't know if you can necessarily tell, but I don't know if that's even necessarily where my thought is if I'm a Commander fan. I'm just so happy I'm finally catching a couple breaks.
Oh, come on. Really? Like, you weren't, like, when they were 4-1, they were talking to the NFL. They didn't look like they were catching little breaks. They were killing people.
They were, but their defense wasn't that amazing. And I think anytime you have a rookie quarterback and you are able to stack wins like this and you look like you're moving in the right direction, that's what you want to see. You know,
I mean, their defense has been pretty good. I mean,
last 2 weeks, but they played the Carolina Panthers, and then they just played Chicago again. It's another rookie quarterback, rookie on the road, is always tough. I think you're just encouraged by everything. And you've been wandering in the NFL desert for 20 years with the worst owner and cycling through coaches and quarterbacks who were never the answer. And now you've got hope. Now you've got something. So whether it ends up being wild card round, divisional round, I think they're definitely a playoff team. And all right, maybe you don't blaze through the playoff. Maybe you do. Even if you don't, I think it's encouraging, something to build on. This is what you're looking for in D.C.
I don't know. That sounds like a participation trophy, what you just described.
But there's no expectations on this team at all. No, why can't we just enjoy the good times for once? Because there's been a lot of bad times there.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It's the NFL. Who cares about all that? Like, they have an assignment this year to win the NFC East. I feel like they had raised the expectations above that sort of, like, nice story level to me.
It's still a rookie quarterback. And I know CJ Stroud, like, change ever all the calculus about this, but it's still a rookie quarterback. You just want to see progress the first year, and this is beyond that.
Oh, no. Their rookie quarterback is his top. He's like CJ Stroud last year. He's definitely a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. The problems are elsewhere. Like, I don't know. Is that defense going to hold up? Is the running game going to be effective? Jay Daniels, if he's standing, is going to dominate.
Coming up, every NFL game in 60 seconds. It's the NFL in 60 next.